welcome to Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares listener stories of times when someone made their life better. Listeners, that's you. So we're sharing the stories of times of when people made your life better. Times when people picked you up, lifted you up, made you smile, especially on days that maybe you thought you couldn't. I am your host, Tressa Glover, and I am so happy that you're tuning in again here with us. Right off the top, remember, if you have a story to share, if you have a suggestion for a group or organization in the Pittsburgh area that is really helping the community, doing good work, give us a call. 1-833-399-GOOD. Or, of course, email us, yinsaregood@gmail.com. You know, we want to keep hearing from you and keep this podcast rolling. We did have our first Facebook Live, a week ago. And so I hope, I know many of you were able to view it, and we will have more of those coming up in the future. So please keep an eye out. It was a lot of fun to do. So we'll have some of those in between our podcasts as well, which should be a lot of fun. What also is a lot of fun are the two interviews that I have coming up for you. One with Jennifer March of The Family House, an incredible organization here in Pittsburgh. And one with Cammie Teacoach of Voluntots, which, as you might guess, is about involving your little ones in volunteer work and helping those in the community. And such great conversations I had with these women. Truly inspiring, and just really, it was a joy to talk with both of them. And I'm so excited to share them with you. I do have to let you know, so today is Thursday, March 11th, and I do need to be honest and share with you. This past Sunday, March 7th, my mother passed away suddenly in her sleep. So these last few days, I don't need to explain to those of you who've been through this, or even if you haven't, what these past few days have been for myself and my family and all of the people who knew her. So I, of course, knew that this podcast, you know, was supposed to come out on the 11th, and with everything going on, I thought about you all, and I have loved connecting with you all so much via this podcast, and I hope those of you, you know, you're enjoying listening in and spending time with me every couple of weeks, and so I wanted to keep it going, and then I thought, and my mother would say, oh, Tressa, yes, make sure you get that podcast out. She loved listening to it, so here we are. And so, if you will indulge me, I thought today's story of someone who has made someone's life better, I'd love to read to you the obituary for my mom as a tribute to her and how she made not only my life better, my sisters, Don, of course, my dad, family, friends, her students. To me, she really is the epitome of helping others. And so I will share with you a story about her, and then you will hear our amazing interviews with Jennifer and Cammie. So without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. Deborah Jean Ferracco Glover was 73. Unexpectedly passed away in her sleep on Sunday, March 7th, 2021. Debbie was the oldest of six amazing children born to Angelina Andreozzi Ferracco and the late Samuel G. Ferracco Sr. She was the loving and devoted wife of 52 years to William Terrence, Terry, Glover, and the two of them have been inseparable since first meeting in college at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. From that moment together, they continued the strong foundation of family love they inherited from their parents, and they carried on that love to their children and grandchildren. In addition to being preceded in death by her father, Sam, She is also preceded in death by her grandparents, Elvira and Angelo Ferracco Sr., and Concetta and Orazio Andreozzi Sr. Debbie is survived by her husband, Terry, and three lovely daughters, Deborah Janine Glover-Joswiak, Tressa Brenna Glover-DiGiulio, Don, and Maggie Ann Glover. Debbie was able to be the perfect mom to her daughters in all areas of theater, sports, the arts, business, and academics. Deborah Janine not only shared her mother's name, but also shared her dedication to and passion for being the best mother possible, plus the talent for allowing humor and sarcasm to help soothe all ailments. Debbie was an ardent supporter of Tressa Brenna's theater and film career, but proudly never crossed the line into stage mother status. In addition to her overbite, Tressa inherited Debbie's beautiful brown eyes and her sense of humor. Maggie Ann inherited the creativity from Debbie that led her to be a gifted and nationally published poet, and Debbie was so very proud of her, and their love of sharing cat videos will always be remembered. She is also survived by three incredible grandchildren who referred to her lovingly only as G, William Henrik, Angelina Irene, and Rebecca Janine. Debbie's connection with Will as her only grandson was divine, and she was able to communicate with him through his autism like no one else had been able to do. Debbie adored granddaughter Angelina and often joked that their bond was cemented with their simultaneous concussion recoveries in 2016. Rebecca and her grandmother shared a spiritual connection not from this world, as evidenced by communication they had up until the very night before Debbie passed. Debbie was 100% Italian, Calabrese and Abruzzi, and originally from Bloomfield until her family moved to Verona. In the early 80s, Debbie and Terry moved their family to Hampton, where they lived until just a few years ago when they moved to the Fox Chapel area. Debbie is also survived by five siblings: Samuel G. Ferracco Jr. and his wife Maria, Mark Ferracco, his wife Carol, Carol Ferracco Thompson, her husband David, Inez Ferracco Wilmer, her husband Dan, and Anita Ferracco Woodman and her husband Greg. Their home growing up in Verona was constantly filled with family, laughter, love, jokes, hard work, dedication, perseverance, and, best of all, great homemade Italian food. Debbie was truly lucky to know she had five younger brothers and sisters who were always there in the strongest, most supportive way a family can be. One of her favorite pictures was that of her posing with her three sisters holding the homemade mugs labeled as Sister Number One, Sister Number Two, Sister Number Three, and Sister Number Four. Brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, cousins, and her many Glover and Ferracco nieces and nephews came from far and near several times a year to enjoy Debbie's homemade Italian spaghetti sauce, referred to as Aunt Debbie's sauce. For more than 30 years, Debbie also hosted the very iconic and epic Glover New Year's Eve parties, and chances are, if you're reading this, that you actually attended one at some point in your life. Debbie's true legacy, however, is how she improved the lives of families during her entire career as a special education teacher. After graduating from Penn Hills High School in 1965, Debbie went on to receive a bachelor's degree from Indiana University of Pennsylvania in 1969 in special education. For 40 years, Debbie dedicated her life to the support and education of individuals with special needs that ranged from profound to high functioning, and she has served as a role model for so many teachers that have learned from her style of teaching. Not a holiday came and went without Debbie going in to teach her classes with some sort of a blinking light strand around her neck, or a headband that sparkled or lit up, or an outfit that didn't stop traffic. Debbie understood from the beginning that the best way to reach children is to appeal to what makes them happy and what makes them laugh, and she therefore was so successful for giving the children she taught the education they not only were entitled to, but that they deserved, as children given to her by God to lead through life. And so, to my mom, thank you. Yens are good. Hello.
Hi, Tressa.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So first, thank you so much for for talking with me today and coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Tressa, for your interest in Family House. I always get so excited to talk about Family House. And I had the opportunity to check out your podcast, and I think it's so cool what you're doing. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. For those listeners who may not be familiar, would you like to tell us a little bit about the mission of Family House and a little about its history?
Yeah, for sure. Family House has been around for nearly 40 years now. It opened in 1983 on McKee Place in Oakland. And at that time, it was the brainchild of a small group of community folks in the medical community. So doctors, also executives, who saw a need for a place where family members of patients at that time, it was a very specific demographic, people who were traveling here for transplant, their family members needed a place to stay that was close to the hospital, convenient, affordable, comfortable. And that's how Family House came about. And today we serve 24,000 people a year. At the time when we opened, we had a house with 32 guest rooms, and now we have 130 guest rooms among three locations, which I think we will get to. And as healthcare is evolving, so must Family House. So nowadays, about two-thirds of our guests are the patient themselves. So they might be coming to Pittsburgh to receive cancer treatment or an evaluation for a transplant or whatever the case, but they're able to, they don't have to be in the hospital, but they need to be close by and close to their doctors. And so Family House is the perfect place.
And how wonderful, obviously, for the patients to have that comfort and be able to stay close by, not have to have that obviously as a concern.
That's right. That's right. We had actually, very recently, I mean, within the last week, we had one family tell us that if it weren't for Family House, they would have had to skip paying their mortgage. And that's where our mission really just is right in your face, because we always make sure that we're affordable. Our room rates, we do have a room rate just for sustainability, but they're about a third of what you would pay at a hotel. And we also have a special program to further support folks who could use a little bit of help, even with our low rates. So when we heard that, we thought, boy, this is, we got to keep going. There was a time, and we do surveys every time our guests check out. We ask if they'd complete a survey. And some folks still say that if it weren't for Family House, they would have had to have slept in their car, which is, it's hard to imagine that, but there still are those choices that people have to make. So we always want to eliminate that option for people.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes we don't think about that side of it. We can think about all of the other hardships that come along with when a patient is going through something.
Yes.
But sometimes those are the things that we don't even, you know, are further down the list when it comes to, oh my gosh, they must be dealing with ABC.
Exactly, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a financial burden that comes along with any kind of a health situation that, to your point, it's not front of mind. And so when, in addition to paying hospital bills, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to stay close to the hospital to get my radiation and chemotherapy without going broke? So, and you know, not just the financial piece, but it's the comfort and the home-like experience that we provide, because these people had to pick up, leave their homes, leave their family behind, leave their friends, their neighbors, their routine. And so we like to provide a very warm, welcoming environment.
Do you also have folks who are closer, you know, a little closer to Pittsburgh, but it's easier?
Yeah, we do. We have people, I would say About 60% of our demographic is from the state of Pennsylvania. And I don't know off the top of my head what percentage of that you would consider Pittsburghers, but certainly we get people who come in from Westmoreland County, Greensburg, wherever. So, for example, if you're coming in for a procedure, oftentimes they say, please report to the hospital at 5 a.m. Well, this person might live 40 minutes away, still in the Pittsburgh area, and trying to get up and be here by 5 o'clock in the morning is tough. So they come in often the night before and just make sure they're right across the street.
Wow, the ease of that and just taking away one of those burdens, right? One of those the patient's going through. Now, would you like to would take a second here, tell us a little bit about you,
Oh,
about
sure.
yourself and how you got involved with Family House?
Absolutely. So let's see. I am not a native Pittsburgher. I moved here though in 1990. So, at this point, I like to think of myself as a Pittsburgher, but it depends on who you ask.
It's true. It's true.
And my children are Pittsburghers, so that's got to give me some street cred. And so I moved here in 1990, and I moved here from DC. I came from the nonprofit sector and stuck with it. So my first job in Pittsburgh was at WQED, and I had the pleasure at that time of riding the elevator in the morning with Mr. Rogers. So that was amazing. Yeah, because I worked on site where they filmed the neighborhood of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, the neighborhood of Make Believe, and FCI Communications was in the same building. So that was great. From there, I worked for the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and considered myself so fortunate because I could just pop out of my office and go sneak into the hall and watch rehearsals. And it was part of my job. It was fantastic. So from there, I moved on to Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh. And this whole time, I was in the development world, raising funds, but with each job, got more and more responsibility. I was with the Carnegie for 8 years. And from there, I went to work for the Children's Home of Pittsburgh. And that was when I entered into, still in the nonprofit sector, but crossed over into healthcare. And the Children's Home, I don't know if you're familiar, right there on Penn Avenue, provides a space, a sanctuary for families who have a medically fragile child. There is a hospital located right in the Children's Home, and there's a family living center there. And so that was a very natural, introduction into what Family House does. From there, I went over to Family House, and that was in April of 2017. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yes.
Wow. And thinking too, when you were talking about WQED, like talk about the perfect first job in
Oh,
Pittsburgh as far as getting the
man.
experience and being
For
like with Mr.
sure.
Rogers.
Absolutely right.
Oh my
And
gosh.
I grew up in a very small college town. I grew up in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. My father was a professor at Bucknell University for 30 plus years. And so for me, Pittsburgh is the perfect mix of small town and city. People are so kind and so approachable and so friendly that it feels to me like a small town, which is, my comfort zone. But in addition to that, everything that's big city and arts and culture related is accessible to everybody, which is one of the things I just love so much about Pittsburgh.
And we're happy to have you. And I think, yes, I feel like 30 years, I think it's, you're a legit yinzer at this point.
Good. Thank you.
I think so.
Good.
That's
I
good.
feel, I mean, I'm never, I'm, I will never leave. That's for sure.
Well, there you go. Okay, that's the other criterion is
Yeah. Yep.
do you plan on staying?
I plan on staying for sure.
And so when we're getting back to Family House in particular, and you mentioned this already, but you have three different locations.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about each of those?
Absolutely. So our, let's see, we have a location right on Center Avenue, right across from Shadyside Hospital. That's our Shadyside House. And so we serve people who are coming to get procedures done at Shadyside Hospital or treatment at Hillman Cancer, which is just a block and a half away. So it's very, very convenient. And then we've got our Oakland side. We've got our University Place house, which is right on Thackeray Way. There are a lot of facilities over there that are very convenient to Family House on Thackeray. The VA, we serve the VA, we serve all of the hospital systems. Mercy is over there and Presby. And then we've got a house on Neville Street. And a lot of our VA folks stay at Neville. Also, Allegheny General Hospital, we've got a transportation system, which makes it very convenient for our folks as well. So there's a shuttle system, and we've got an Uber partnerships to make sure that people get where they need to be when they need to be there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if any of our listeners, would like to learn more about staying there, or getting that information for themselves or
Oh,
loved ones, how would
absolutely.
they? Yeah.
So we have a website, familyhouse.org, very simple. And our phone number is 412-647-7777. Also very simple.
If we also have some listeners who are thinking, that they'd be really interested in volunteering or in donating or in helping Family
Thank you.
House in that
Yeah,
way. Yeah.
it's wonderful. The volunteer aspect is really what keeps us going. Our volunteers make up a very large part of our operations. And it's interesting because when I first started getting more and more familiar with Family House, I thought, boy, it is such a beloved asset of Pittsburgh. But yet, most of the people who come through our doors aren't local, those who are staying with us. So, what is it that ties this community so closely to Family House? And it really is, I think, our volunteer program. I meet people all the time who will say, my sorority at Pitt, when I was a student at Pitt, my sorority, we would come and do dinners, or I was a house volunteer. We have a lot of great relationships with the universities, and we have a lot of college age volunteers, whether they come over in groups to do meals, or we've got house volunteers. And the difference between those two categories of volunteers is our house volunteers do a shift and they help set up rooms for our guests. They help our guests get comfortable with the house, give them a tour, let them know where, a little bit about the neighborhood that they're in, where they might want to get a bite to eat, for example, if they feel like going out and doing something like that. And then we've got group volunteers who come in and cook meals, do group meals for our families, which they so appreciate. Right now, of course, with COVID and the situation we're in, it impacts everything. So we have volunteers bringing over prepared meals that are prepackaged. And another way to volunteer is to do a pantry drive, which is very simple and yet really impactful for our guests, because oftentimes we have people who are checking in late at night. They might be stressed. They're hungry. They didn't think, oh, I should probably stop and get some food. So we always like to have food available to them that they can go ahead and prepare in our kitchen. We have beautiful communal kitchen and dining spaces in each one of the houses. So our guests, if they check in and need something to eat, there's always going to be there something there for them. And we have people who do book drives and donate books and puzzles and that sort of thing. We have libraries in each one of our houses and lots of ways to
Wow.
volunteer. And I know I have two teenagers, and in high school they are required often, to get volunteer hours. And so for parents, we welcome that. So if there are any parents out there who need hours for their kids, they can email me directly if they'd like. My email address is jmarch@familyhouse.org.
Yeah, and what a true sense of community the Family House is. The work that you all are doing, and thank you so much for that, first of all, what
Well,
you all
thank
are,
you.
what you're doing, and then the just hearing all of those opportunities for, those in the community, for all the Pittsburghers to say, okay, how can I help? And just the
Yeah.
idea of food and books, and I mean, that's really,
Absolutely
it's
right.
something really special.
Yeah, and we
Yeah.
have a volunteer manager who will coordinate all of those efforts and be able to provide even more detail about volunteer opportunities look like, but you can also go to our website and find there is a link to volunteer opportunities on the website.
I wanted to ask you too, what do you would you consider the best part of your job?
Oh my gosh. I would say that Family House is a connector of people, and to me, that is the best part. We often witness these families bonding with one another because they're going through something very similar with a loved one or themselves. And it's amazing because we will see people who would have had no other reason to meet. Suddenly they're scheduling their appointments together. I have to come back in 3 months. So do I. Let's make sure we come back at the same time. We see that all the time. It's incredible. And our volunteers and our staff really connect with our guests. And I'm always amazed when, under the saddest of circumstances, there are sometimes guests who check in with a loved one and have to check out without them. And it is heart-wrenching. But yet, that family will make a point of sharing with us their hearts and thanking Family House for what we provided for them, or coming back and volunteering with us. That's happened as well. We had a gentleman from New Jersey who signed up to be a volunteer and would travel every Sunday hours to volunteer with us after he had been a guest with us. It's just incredible.
Are there any other stories that come to mind about, you've already shared some wonderful ones with us, but about any other experiences from your guests or your staff or
Oh
yourself?
gosh. Well, I don't know if you remember, this story was in the news. A young woman by the name of Kelly, who was in need of a kidney, and she held up a sign at a Penguins game that said, "I need a kidney."
Yes, I remember.
You remember that? At a
Yes.
hockey game, she held up a sign, and another hockey fan said, "I have a kidney." Well, she came to Pittsburgh. They were a match. It was incredible. And they both ended up staying at the same house, at Family House, and they were a match. And so they were almost like our celebrity guests for a little while. It was just the coolest thing to see. And their families bonded. So they got to know each other pre-surgery, post-surgery, and it was just a really happy ending and a wonderful story to be a part of. And I know you just did a podcast on healthcare workers and frontliners and essential workers and who we love. And it's so wonderful for us when we see nurses, doctors, nurse anesthetists. We have all of these clinical groups who come over to the houses and cook meals for the guests. And it's just neat to see them all be able to relax together and exhale and not think about, the procedure or the treatment in that moment. Just get to know each other on a personal level. It's really, really fun to witness and be a part of. So we love that too.
And what a gift for them. What a gift you're giving them, giving them that
Yeah,
time.
they say it all the time. They say it's so great. They spend oftentimes our guests are spending the bulk of their day at the hospital, and it can be stressful. And they say coming back over to the house at 4 or 5 o'clock, and when they smell a meal being prepared, they know that there's a group doing a meal and it's going to be a good evening. Everybody gets to gather together, and it's really, really nice. So we love to welcome pre-packaged meals. We just had a lovely donation of meals from the Oaklander Hotel, who came over and distributed meals to our guests. And that works great. It's wonderful.
Thank you again. Thank you just for all that you and your team are doing for
Well, thank you very
all
much
of
for your
these people.
interest.
Hello, Cammie.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We have some sunshine today, so I'll take
Oh, I know. I have a sick
it.
baby though, so
Oh,
it's all the
no.
same. I know, it's all the same to me.
I'm sorry. And I saw, so how old is your baby now?
My baby is almost not a baby anymore. He will turn one on March 18th. So I had a 2.5-year-old and a newborn and a global pandemic. Do not recommend. zero out of 10. Yeah. My older son is 3.5. Yeah, so I'm literally sitting in my closet right now. hashtag mom life.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk a little about Voluntots, shall we?
I would love to.
Love this. So now, of course, so you are Cami T Coach, founder of Voluntots. So I know, well, I will say this, which you will tell us all about, but during the month of March, you will be assembling and distributing more than 10,000 thank you bags for healthcare workers. And those will be going to over 17 different area hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But please tell us, you know, as far as just exactly, you know, what Voluntots is, a little about you, although we've learned some already, but please. Now okay. I'm going to just put this out there. So word is that you are originally from Cleveland.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I decided to have you on the show anyway. So
yes. You're welcome. Yes. The rumors so I just are true.
please tell us about you and what inspired you to start Voluntots.
Sure. So yes, as I will put the rumors to rest, I am from Cleveland. I will say I was born in Atlanta. I moved to Cleveland when I was 2.5. My husband, who is very much, you know, Pittsburgh, he's from Wheeling, which I basically call a suburb of Pittsburgh. But anyway,
sure.
So it helps him feel better that he's like, but she was born in Atlanta. So I was born in Atlanta. I moved to Cleveland when I was 2.5. I attended the Ohio University. I have an undergrad degree in journalism. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew that that wasn't the path for me, wasn't quite sure what the path was. I found social work and I was like, oh, that's the path. I came here in 2011, fresh out of college, to go to Pitt's joint MSW-MPH program. I finished that. I was fortunate enough to stop working full-time in February of 2018. My dad was very sick. My dad had pancreatic cancer that he ended up succumbing to at the end of May. And I had a 6-month-old and I just knew that I was not in the place where I could be a social worker and could be what people needed me to be. So I quit. And I kind of have been trying to find my path ever since then. I started volunteering myself when I was about 3 for a monthly luncheon for elderly that my church would host. So I would fill the sugar bowls, I would squirt the tables. And so as my older son started getting older, I started to kind of look around for opportunities for him to be involved in the community, to give back. And there was nothing. At the beginning of February 11th, to be exact, I said to my husband, I think I kind of want to start a club for kids to volunteer. And so as we start to kind of look ahead, hopefully, to post-pandemic life, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to put something together, for, you know, friends and maybe some of their friends to volunteer. So that was Thursday, February 11th. Friday, the next day, I was like, I'll just make a Facebook group. It'll probably be easier than trying to text everybody and keep, you know, up a huge, I was thinking 20-person text exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting at 785 members in that Facebook group.
Oh.
So that was, wow. So I created the group, I invited my friends, and then I just kind of watched it take off. So at about 400 people, I was like, I need a steering committee, do this all on my own. And so I decided that I wanted it to be north. So I wanted it to be one more person from the north, 2 from the south, 2 from the east, 2 from the west. Before we had Mimi, I decided that I was going to hold the rest of the spots for more diverse applicants. We need this to be reflective of all of Pittsburgh. And mm-hmm. so
if some of our listeners wanted to learn more about that, wanted to reach out and apply, how would they do that?
They could send an email to voluntotspgh@gmail.com.
You were talking about your career as a social worker and how, you know, going through this period of grief and what I assume is, you know, being overwhelmed by events and having to step away. And as time goes on, right, finding what else can I do? And obviously it is deep inside you to help people one way or another, you know, and it's inspiring, you know, you're taking what is in you and just, you know, just into something else. When I was right, here comes Voluntas.
Yeah, it was really I guess I'll, you know, give it a try. And in the span of probably 48 hours, it was, oh my God.
What have I gotten myself into?
Inspired by other people, by the unbelievable outpouring of support that we've received, and just by what I've seen from the city itself. I mean, where I live now. And I'm really, really happy that I can do this for a city that I feel, I mean, Pittsburgh gave me, I met my husband here. I got married here. My church family is here. My home is here. I have my children here. And I am so happy that I can do this for the city that has given me everything in my adult life.
We are lucky to have you here.
Well, thank you.
And happy to have you. We are. Welcome. I mean, a continued welcome to the Berg. So would you like to tell us more about these healthcare worker thank you bags?
Yes.
And what's happening?
So we're approaching, you know, obviously 1 year of COVID, and I wanted healthcare workers to know that we are still in this with you. We have not forgotten about you. You know, we might not be clapping for you every night anymore, but we are still right in this with you. And so we will be packing, hopefully, the goal is 10,000, the larger hospitals. So, you know, McGee, Children's, AGH, West Penn, Mercy, I'm missing a few, but the bigger hospitals will get 1,000. The smaller hospitals, Jefferson, Passavant, both Passavants, McCandless and Cranberry, St. Clair, East, UPMC East, they'll be getting 300 each. So they'll be in a plastic baggie, and they will have a prepackaged snack, like something that you can get at Costco, at Sam's Club. So, you know, pretzels, granola bar, whatever. They'll have some candy. They will have a thank you card that our tots are diligently coloring. I posted a picture today, actually, on our Instagram account. The last thing that goes into the bag is a card for money off of a set of tires that was generously donated by Discount Tire Company on McKnight Road. But team leaders will be adding that bag. So if you sign up to pack bags and you don't get your discount card, it's okay. Team leaders will then be attaching that to the bag. Baggies must be to team leaders by Tuesday, March 23rd. Team leaders will be dropping the baggies off at their identified hospital on Friday, March 26th.
Are folks just using their own materials as opposed to where they're, I didn't know if there were maybe specific bags that they were picking up from a site, you know, that are specifically to be packed, or can they use what they have at hand?
No, they can use I've been just doing like the grocery store, like quart baggies, like what you would put leftovers in if you're like me and mm-hmm, constantly mm-hmm. lose Tupperware.
Yes.
If someone wants to pack baggies and they have the means to be able to go out and get their own, you know, pretzels, granola bar, whatever you want to put in there, and their own candy, that's great. If you have a, you know, a membership to Costco or Sam's or whatever, But if you don't have a membership or you don't have the means to go out and buy a bunch of pretzels, you can email that voluntadspgh@gmail.com account, and we will make sure that we have people who are donating the snacks, the candy. So we have people who will donate. A team leader or a steering committee member will pick up the donation, and they will bring it to you.
Ah, okay.
That's great. On any of the Saturdays in March.
And, okay, so another question. So how about people out there who don't have kids, but they still want to help?
Right. So anyone is welcome to pack baggies for our March project. What we're doing is we have a public Facebook event. All the information is in there. You can print off the thank you cards that our steering committee member, Tanny, so beautifully designed. And you can print off the cards through the Facebook event. You can find the signups in the Facebook event. It's just a Google document. We do have plenty of activities coming down the pike. I don't know if you want to talk about that yet.
Sure. Absolutely.
One thing that I really wanted to avoid was kind of being a so-called one-hit wonder. Of saying like, oh my goodness, did you hear about Volatots? They did this amazing March project, and then they kind of, we never heard from them again.
Yes.
So coming down the pike, in April, we're doing In Your Community Collection. So we'll be breaking into that north, south, east, west. The north is going to be collecting, North Hills Community Outreach is currently doing a toiletries drive. So I can only speak to the north because I picked it. the north will be collecting for North Hills Community Outreach. And then as we get into May to mark the end of Ramadan, we are doing an Eid. I am so sorry if I pronounced that wrong. A toy drive. Local mosques will collect toys to give out at the end of Ramadan. And so we will be partnering with local mosques, and we will be, you know, sponsoring new toy donations. In June, we are looking at getting involved in our beautiful, I mean, Pittsburgh has an amazing urban gardening, urban farming community. So we will be getting involved in that in June. In July, we're doing Christmas in July to benefit Jeremiah's Place. In August, we're doing a school supplies drive with the Education Partnership. We're not stopping.
No one hit wonders here. You are on a roll.
So what I also want to be sure that people hear is the Highmark Walk for a Healthy Community is going virtual again this year. So May 15th, we will be splitting into our regions, north, south, east, west, and we will be doing the walk, but not really doing the walk because we have small children. I rented a picnic shelter in North Park for the north region. And so there'll be a playground. People can bring their lunch. I really just wanted to have a community picnic vibe. May 15th, all we ask is that you have registered as part of the Voluntots team for the Highmark Walk.
This is so wonderful. So all the info, right? We've talked about your Facebook page, and then you're also on Instagram. So as far as listeners, you know, wanting to hear more, and of course we have your email as well.
Of coming back together after this horrific year that we have had, being apart. And so people can, you know, there's a big hill behind the picnic shelter. People can bring kickballs, footballs, soccer balls.
You do a great job too of posting and putting updates and along with pictures, and it's really great. So you were volunteering at, you know, the age of three and a half, and so you, that was ingrained in you.
Yep.
From that age, you know, and what you're continuing on and what you're, you know, passing on, that idea from such a young age of, you know, for these kids learning the importance of having gratitude of and saying thank you, as far as, first of all, with the healthcare thank you bags, having that kind of appreciation and knowing our heroes, our everyday heroes, yeah, really, right? And to understand and appreciate the importance of recognizing that. But then, of course, as far as the volunteering and the helping, it's just,
yeah,
how important that is, the helping people in need, lending a hand, and hopefully then as they grow up and as they grow older, right, then it's, as it was with you, just ingrained. And also the idea too, at least what talents, what can you do, what can you give, and to think in those terms that it can look like different,
yeah,
things.
And it doesn't have to look like what you think it has to look like. Our motto is everybody can be a helper. So you were talking about how it was ingrained in me, and I have to shout out my mom for that. So she's definitely crying if she wasn't already. She's now 100% crying. yeah, so
oh, good. That's what we like to do here at Yinzer Good.
It's my mom who said, we're going to do something to help, and we're going to find something that she can do. And the director, it was called Project Renewal at Fairmont Presbyterian Church. And out to Miss Jan, who was a kindergarten teacher. And so she was able to work with my mom to figure out things that I could do, because I think that, yes, toddlers are difficult and they're a headache, but there's also kind of an innate helpfulness in them that they want to give back, and they want to kind of start to fit into the world. And it's a parent or a guardian or a grandparent or whoever, a wonderful opportunity for the adults in their lives to harness that and to.
Well, you're doing such good stuff.
Thank you.
Such good stuff. What a great word to use. But sometimes when you can't find a big enough word, it encompasses it all. But you are, it's inspiring what you're doing and how many people you are bringing together, and that you're rolling with it when it has become so much bigger than you imagined. And instead of being intimidated by it and like, oh, I don't know, but you are pushing through, and it's inspiring and it's fun, and it's just putting a smile on my face. I know, thinking about all the people and the kids and what joy you're bringing to them too.
Thank you.
I know, being a part of something, yeah, bigger.
We are not currently an official charity. We are going to start that process, working on a website as well. One thing that I have discovered is that I am an ideas person, and I am not a website design person. Official charity, website design, two things that we know we need, and they are coming.
Awesome. And hey, I'll say it right now, if we have any listeners out there who do design websites and want to volunteer,
oh my goodness,
their time,
thank you.
Why not?
I pay in smiles and Starbucks.
This is awesome. The old SNS, smiles and Starbucks. I mean, why not? So, yes, or if you know someone who you think could do it, why not ask? You never know until
you
ask.
Yes, thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to say or cover?
I just want to thank everyone who is in the Facebook group, everyone who listens and who is going to go look for the Facebook group, everyone who has signed up to Pack Bags, everyone who is going to go sign up to Pack Bags. We need this after the year that we've had, and our healthcare heroes need this. And I just hope that you guys will turn out and show everybody what we're made of. Look at me using we as Pittsburgh. Hey, look at that.
I love, now I'm crying. Now I have a tear in my eye. Well, I want to thank you for just everything that you're doing. And with this wonderful energy and spirit that you're bringing with it, it's contagious. And so thank you. And this conversation has been so fun.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to do it again.
Would love to.
And that is going to be a wrap here for us, episode 16. Thank you all for listening, for continuing to listen. You are all in my thoughts, and I am hoping that you are all continuing to do well. As we say, keep moving forward, keep finding the joy, keep connecting with people, and sharing love with each other, because we sure do need it. And I cannot wait until next time. So until then, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Thank yous to Jennifer March, Cami T Coach, to Karen Baum, Don DiGiulio, and as always, for our most fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.